Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezat Hashem, Power Word Share number 94. In regard to verbal abuse, the victims of the verbal abusers, they don't know usually what's going on in the relationship. They don't recognize the verbal abuse. And it's hard to identify. Now, when they recognize that their spouse that's abusive has no interest and no determination whatsoever to understand you, that's when you begin to understand them. And you can be very angry at the abuser, but you won't be frustrated anymore because you'll be relieved of the understanding of what's going on. So we talked about various aspects of a healthy relationship without abuse versus with abuse, and that's the difference between two opposites usually, and we're going to talk about some of them now. One of them is affection as opposed to rejection. A feeling of affection is the awareness of wanting to share. The spirit is nourished by being affectionate towards one another. And of course, rejection is being refused and your spirit is diminished by it. One of the ways couples express their affections to each other is sharing their joys, sharing their pleasures with their mate. But in an abusive relationship, this overture of trying to share with your spouse joys and pleasures and connectivity rarely succeeds. To the contrary, the abuser will actually be angered when their partner thinks that they should be pleased. Consequently, the spouses of verbal abusers are often left with a feeling of having said something that has been misunderstood. Or they feel somehow they said something that was unacceptable or wasn't worthwhile. So the abuser's indifference, their criticism, their disregard are all felt as kind of a rejection of the one that is accepting these words. And this rejection makes the person feel unacceptable, feel unworthy. Sometimes you have intermittent rejections. That creates confusion and uncertainty. We are sometimes what an abuser does is they will sometimes throw in positive comments to throw them off guard and then wham them again with their criticism. Another bar of the difference between a healthy relationship and an unhealthy relationship that has verbal abuse is hope versus disappointment. Hope is an awareness of a desirable state where the spirit is nourished. Disappointment is when the spirit is diminished. The victim of an abuser hopes that in time, I'm going to mention again in female version, but it could go the other way around, as we said many times, but we'll just use it just simply for illustrative purposes. The partner of the abuser hopes that in time her relationship with her will improve. She may realize that communication is difficult with her husband, but you may also hope that once she understands him and he understands her, they'll both be happier. And with the hope of preventing future abuse, she may ask, for example, that before he gets upset, that he asked her what she meant and she could explain things. She may also hope that once he understands that accomplishing certain goals or having time for herself is important to her, that he'll be supportive of her. Or she may hope that once her husband knows that some of his comments or behaviors hurt her or frighten her, he will apologize and he will stop saying them. Because after all, he does love her. He even says so sometimes. It may also seem to the wife that it's such a simple thing, that once her husband gets to understand her, they'll have a happier life and a more fulfilling relationship. But since the husband in this case holds the hope for connection and understanding and intimacy, it's in his hands. He has the power to create it, and he does not provide that for her, she will be disappointed. She may experience gestures of caring, some gifts, may enjoy expensive dinners, which sometimes wealthy abusers do. They do spend money on lavish dinners for their wives that they're abusing. And she may be told how much she's loved. But then what happens is the abuser ultimately has that inability to accept her and he becomes indifferent, or he has an erratic hot temper, and it swings her back from hope into disappointment. Another difference, obviously, in the relationships of healthy versus unhealthy is happiness versus sadness. With happiness, the spirit is nourished. With sadness, the spirit is diminished. The wife, in this case, again, we're stereotypically, it is this way, but it could be reverse, but we're just doing it this way for now. The wife feels happy when she's pursuing her own goals and evolving in her own pursuits. She feels happy when her husband seems to understand her and to talk to her and to listen to her. And her happiness turns into sadness when she realizes that he has not understood her at all, or seems to be always talking down to her, or putting her down, or refusing to talk to her, or yelling at her, or accusing her. And this sadness that a wife experiences in such situations is often a deep, deep emotional pain. Victims of verbal abusers, and men and women alike, husbands also feel this way when their wives are this way. They have a certain sick feeling in the pit of their stomachs, or an ache in the throat, or a stab in the heart. You actually feel it as physical pain. And it interprets itself into physical feelings of sadness, which causes deep harm to the spirit, to the neshama within. And by realizing this, the victim may recognize that her own feelings are telling her something quite real and quite different from what her husband, the abuser, is telling her. She may then realize that statements that her husband made, like, "You're making a big deal out of nothing," or they're not only lies, but the bottom line is, you recognize when your husband tells you you're making a big deal out of nothing, they're being verbally abusive. And recognizing the validity of your own feelings. Now again, always we have to understand, these days people are hypersensitive. This doesn't mean in a normal, healthy marriage you will have sometimes a couple saying insensitive things to one another. That's not abuse. We said that many, many times, because there's a pattern of self-correction and working on themselves towards a better relationship. So you have to determine, and again, if you're not sure yourself, speak to a mentor to know whether this is a real deep-rooted issue of real abuse, or whether it's just simply working on general midos that are workable and doable. Another aspect is a feeling of security that a healthy relationship brings, and a feeling of fear that is there in an abusive situation. In a verbally abusive relationship, the wife may recognize some problems, but they may believe it could be worked out. Over time, as the abuse intensifies or changes, then the wife becomes fearful of her husband, and then she recognizes she's being abused. And again, it's not stereotypical. If males are victim of this verbal abuse, there's a tremendous fear that they feel. Now, she confronts her husband if he's unwilling to change, if he becomes angrier, if he becomes more abusive, if he becomes more manipulative and more confusing, and if she asks him to stop it and he refuses, or he continues to deny the abuse, she may grow to fear his anger, fear his unpredictability, and fear the loss of love, fear the loss of security that she believed that she had in this relationship. So by recognizing abuse for what it is, you remove the illusion of security from the relationship. When the victim feels and doesn't recognize or is hurt by it and not recognizing what's going on, they are actually psychologically or physically in danger from the abuser very often, and her fear is very real. She protects herself. There's a security of her personal power, gets the help she needs, and she could pull out of it with Hashem's help. There's another big difference is serenity versus shock. A feeling of serenity brings a healthy state in a relationship. Shock. Sometimes there's actual shocking aspects. You shock their systems. The spouse of a verbal abuser usually feels startled or shocked when her husband suddenly becomes irritated or angry or puts her down or is sarcastic. Since verbal abuse is in essence unexpected, unpredictable, So you could have a wife that's relaxed, serene, happy, even enthusiastic, and on a dime, she's thrown off balance completely and shocked by her mate, her husband, the abuser. Sometimes the abuser does not express their anger overtly, then all of a sudden, it's not comprehensible to her. Did I say anything wrong? What did I say? And I thought he did understand. And he has a different perception altogether. And this unexpectedness of the verbal abuse isolates each incident unrelated to the previous incident, which means that every time this happens, it's a separate shock to the system. Every verbal abusive interaction seems to be about something different. And here's the sad part. In between the abuse, they could sometimes regain their sense of serenity between these incidents. And they look at it, hey, it's only one-time incidents. The victim forgets the previous instance. In other words, this happens often. There's a verbal abuse and there's a hurt. The victim works on getting over it. Now they have a peace of mind, a serenity. It happens again. When it happens again, they don't connect the dots and realize it's a pattern. Consciously, they may need know in their brain, but psychologically in their neshama, they think it's not a pattern. Oh, it's another one-time thing. So it's very difficult often to recognize the pattern of abuse. And one final aspect of this is a feeling of confusion. A feeling of confusion. The victim is very confused because they don't know how to resolve things. And to understand it is to what we talked about when we went initially on this subject of verbal abuse, of to recognize that they're living in different realities. The verbal abuser is living in a reality one, which is a power over, no mutual relationship, while the victim of the verbal abuse is living in reality two. She or he sees the world through mutuality, co-creation, relationship, connection. The verbal abuser is not interested in that, has no relation to that. And very often, and here is the key, verbal abusers undermine their partner's self-esteem, making it much more difficult for them to pull out of it. It takes a tremendous amount of self-esteem to validate one's own reality when no one else seems to have done so. And these patterns that we talked about indicate verbal abuse. We see the power of Einoas Devarim. And again, this happens, we're talking in marriage relationships, but it happens between parents and children, and it happens between employers and employees. And unfortunately, between Rabbeim and Talmidim in the classroom, teachers and students, but very often husband and wife. And we have to break this pattern, recognize in ourselves when, even if we may not see ourselves as abusers, and we may not be, but to recognize those patterns of negative behaviors and the ramification of the buildup of it, and to recognize the symptoms of it. And to do our best to pull out of it and to help other people pull out of it, to promote the awareness of the devastating effects of verbal abuse and the positive effects of the opposite of verbal abuse, of building people with words, as we spoke about in the Positive Word Power series that we're also in the middle of. Bracha v'hatzlacha.